This is Reply Show Time is an Illusion. It is a reply show that I put out some point during the week when folks send me an email or put up a blog post or make some sort of response to the regular numbered shows that I put out. If this is your first time listening, I would ask you to go and listen to a regular numbered show because the reply shows are a little bit shorter, a little bit more disjointed, and don't have quite the structure that the shows do. But welcome. It's nice to have you here. We've got two or three responses. Two of them are being put together because they're both blog posts about the same topic. And one is a brand new listener, Jared. Jared, welcome to the Daydream again. And let's get to it. Here we go. Got some cool responses from episode 53, particularly Inspiration Goat, with about the fight between Finn Rizzell and Queen Bavmorda in Willow, and the idea of how to bring desperation to fights in role-playing games. I've got two really cool responses. One's from Alex Schroeder, who's I'll put a link to his blog, which is amazing. It's really, really good. But he talks about how that hit points don't really do it for him for desperation, D&D style, but he likes a death and dismemberment table. And I'll read from his blog. Here we go. Here's what's worked for me, Alex says. A death and dismemberment table. That is a table where we roll for dire consequences with the following properties. You roll as soon as you've exhausted some other resource like hit points so that people can enjoy a few exchanges in a fight without desperation. Some of the results are harmless and some of them are extremely dire, so the rolling feels like tempting fate in desperation. Some of the results have temporary bad consequences that are reflected in the fiction, like falling prone, losing weapons, being stunned. These have set the scene. Some of the results have long-term bad consequences for the characters that don't impact their fighting ability, such as cuts, loss of nose, ears, eyes, teeth. Some of the characters have long-term bad consequences for the characters are even harsher, such as loss of limbs. I find that having to roll on the table already underscores how desperate the situation is, even if many of the rolls are harmless or indicate minor consequences. Furthermore, some of the long-term consequences are horrible, even if not mechanically relevant, and the people react to that too. Or to put it in different terms, desperation is when you keep hovering at the end of the line, always fearing that the next breath might be your last, without making it impossible for you to turn the ship around. Well said. Very well said. And I'll put a link to Take on Rules, which is Jeremy Friesen's personal blog. And it's a good one. You should check it out. And he talks about a desperate combat in a D&D 4th edition game, which was a game that I really enjoyed, 4th edition. Are you allowed to say that yet? Are we allowed to have the 4th edition renaissance? Tell me when. So I'm not going to read it because it's pretty long, but I'm going to put a link to it. You definitely should check it out. And he talks about how there's scalding hot water rising and there are intelligent enemies coming and people were falling and you have to decide, do I go back and get them? Do I heal them? And I feel like the thing that I'm seeing in a lot of this is, definite consequences and changes to the environment, right? I feel like in Alex's table, you've got things that recontextualize things. All right, you're in the fight, things are happening, but now you've lost a weapon. You know, you've lost some teeth, you've lost an eye. And with Jeremy in Take on Rules, it's something very kind of similar, where the environment itself is changing and making things desperate, and the players have choices. I think that's the key thing in role playing desperation is that the players have choices, and the choices feel fraught. So, good stuff, guys. Thank you so much for the blog posts. I'm so glad that you had something to say about it and took the time to write. It's really wonderful. And I'll put links to both of those in the show notes. And let's get on with it. Who else has something to say? All right, we've got an email from Jared, who has an awesome intro paragraph about how he happened to be listening while he was dishwashing just before his players had a party. And it was just Right on the nose. All the stars aligning. So fantastic, Jared. I'm so glad to hear that. So let's get to the meat of the email. My PCs got lost in the wonders of an extraplanar market, their first time there for the near entirety of the session. So I've got another week to actually implement what you mentioned. I've never thought about treating a social gathering like its own dungeon before. It really helps getting a grasp on the whole encounter. Something I've noticed, though, calling back to your experiences with pacing and your Pathfinder group, is that I feel some of the players tensing up in anticipation of something going wrong at the festival. At the moment, I'm not planning on anything particularly bad, at least combat-wise, to come crashing in. They've been working to make this festival awesome for a while now, and I was just going to let them take the victory lap and enjoy the party. At most, I'm planning on planting a few seeds via rumors about their next potential adventure and goings-on in the world. Sounds good. In doing so, however, I feel like I'm not relieving that tension in a satisfying way. What are your thoughts on when to let the PCs have a full win versus when to throw them a twist or a complication? Thanks a ton for your help. It's been an absolute blast listening to you. Thank you, Jared. It's an absolute blast. With you joining the listening, I appreciate it so much. So let's jump on a couple of things that are going on in that wonderful paragraph. Treating a social gathering like it's a dungeon, and I think when I say a dungeon, what I mean is a place with boundaries, something you can wrap your head around, something that is finite, right? Because I feel like a party can seem this like this huge expansive thing, and a dungeon can seem that way too. So if you make it give it a structure with something that you are familiar with, which many people are familiar with creating dungeons, then it can help you get there, right? Help you figure out how to break things down. Because when you've got big, huge things in a game, that's what you really need to do. You need to break it down. All right. On to the next. The players have planned this awesome festival. They've done their due diligence. They've done awesome work, right? They're just going to take a victory lap and rock out. So it depends on whether the tension is good or not. I would never have a combat encounter just because things are tense, right? I would have a combat encounter because that's the consequence of what's going to happen, or there's a clear reason for it. And so I might... if depending on how bad the tension is, I might tell them. Depends on how tense they are. Is it a good tension? Is it a bad tension? Right? Are they able to enjoy the festival as players? Or are they not able to enjoy it because they're just so sure that something's going to happen? And one of the things you can do when you start the game is go over all the awesome things they've done to make the festival fantastic. And to make sure that the festival is secure and that security is tight. Just go over it. Be like, hey, guys, I just want to say it's been amazing watching you guys do this festival. Like, these are the things you've done to keep it safe. And it's really tight. And from what you can tell, it's going to go off without a hitch. Right? And things still happen. You could say to them, hey, something might happen. Something might surprise me. But, from what I'm seeing, I think you've dealt with it. You can even say, hey, what are you worried about? What are you worried is going to happen? And you can tell them, hey, this is what you've done to stop that from happening. And I think it was successful. I think that was really smart. Or you can let them live with a little bit of tension. Depends. People have their dials on realism and in and out of game set at very different places. So it all depends on where your group is, where you are. And how tense they are, good tension or bad tension. But I would definitely never throw combat in because someone's tense. I would throw it in because it makes sense. And if I feel like as the GM, a big part of our job is to throw out the consequences of the world to the players. And if the consequences of the world are an awesome festival, then rock out with an awesome festival. Let them take the victory lap. And you could even say there are tons of ways to show that in game too, right? Fortune tellers, gods. There are plenty of beings with like a sky eye view that you can say, hey, you see a sign of an eagle flying over with a snake, and that's a clear sign from your god that things are gonna, that this festival is going to rock, right? We use this fiction to make statues' eyes bleed when demons come into town. We can use the fiction to show good things too. So that's my thought, Jared. I hope it's helpful. Thank you. Welcome to the daydream. And I think that's it for our reply show this week. I've got a bunch more, and we'll get to it. I will have a new show for you on Sunday, and I just wanted to get this out before the weekend. And thank you so much for joining me. Let me get to the outro. This has been a reply show, and so the structure is a little bit different than the regular numbered shows. So if this is your first time listening to the show, I apologize. I hope you got something out of it, but I think you'll find that the structure of the regular shows that are numbered are going to be a little more consistent than this. If you would like to send me an email about what's going on at your table, I would love to hear it. Fantastic. How can you support this show? Well, these folks have shown. You can write a blog post in response to the show. You can send me an email. You can send me an MP3 through Anchor. You can send me an MP3 through email and just record as you want. You can tweet at me with your thoughts. Are you on Mastodon? Are you one of the three people on Mastodon? You can toot at me. However you want to do it. I would love to hear from you. I'd love to hear what's going on at your table. It is one of my favorite things about this whole... It is my favorite thing about this whole shindig. So that's one way to support the show. You can also go to my itch.io page and you can purchase something. I've got a couple of PDFs up there. They are made for Trophy Gold, but I think they would be useful for most role-playing games that use a D6 at some point. So if that's your thing, take a look, see what I've got, and see if it interests you. There's a link in the show notes. And the other way is to hit the support the show button from Anchor and support the show with some money, which is always nice. But these are crazy times, and I don't expect anyone to be doing that right about now. So send me an email, send me a tweet. I'd love to hear from you. Those are the main ways right now. Let's just get through this, and we'll talk about support later. Sound good? Cool. I will see you Sunday, and there should be more reply shows coming. I've gotten lots of good replies lately, and I will talk to you soon. Hope you have a great weekend.